corporate Dave. Yeah.
CD. He's on a shoot today.
He's on a shoot today.
He is. So it's me and Sav joined by All Time Gaming's and Balls Up's Jamie.
Two
podcasts in a row.
And that's an upgrade in the title as well.
What, you've got both in there now?
Yeah, I never thought I'd see the day.
No.
Yeah. Reach those lofty heights. Thank you for having me though.
No, thank you for coming, mate.
Anytime.
Thank you.
I've done more Balls Up stuff this week than I have gaming stuff.
Yeah, you would have seen the quiz.
And you look happy for it.
So, you would have seen the quiz by now as well, where Jamie did very well to beat me.
It was a fine performance.
A phenomenal lightning round.
From both of us.
Two very good lightning rounds you've had on your pace.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's something about that round. I just excel.
Under pressure?
Yeah, I guess so.
How's your week been anyway? What have you been up to?
Well, that's what we usually start off with. So, my week, it's been all right. A lot of it's been prep. But I do apologise. My voice is a mess today.
Yeah, me and you in the same
I've been trying to cough it out before we started filming, but it's just not working. So it seems to be coming in and out.
That's what she said. Mad.
Cough it out, yeah.
Like she swallowed and then regretted it or something. Changed her mind, actually.
There you go. This episode is actually not safe. my week, been doing a bit of prep because this weekend we have Dave Jackson Corporate Dave Stag do.
Yes, we do. Yes.
We've told you before in the podcast, it's a throwback wrestler's theme.
Yeah.
For the first day. So I imagine by the time this goes out, or maybe by the time this goes out, you might have seen something on Instagrams or whatever of what people are wearing. We've kept it quite under wraps up to this point.
You guys haven't told them?
We asked them to guess who. We told them me and Sav were going as something, so to guess who it was.
Yeah.
Had a few people saying the APA, Farouk and Bradshaw, apparently.
That's hilarious.
But
would be funny.
Would be great. Both topless with the. But it's been decent. What about, let's start with you, Jamie, your week.
I'll be honest, guys, not much to update you with since the last time I answered that very same question. Just been working on a couple of things here and there with gaming. Trying to think of some new ideas that we can do going forward. I feel like we've got the manpower now and the woman power to put some new ideas into motion and just kind of planning a lot of that stuff out. And similar to you guys, getting ready for the weekend, preparing a costume.
Yeah, man.
I mean, there's no secret to what mine is, but I will say that I was trying on skinny white jeans last night, which is a first for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Never gone for the white
jeans. Funnily enough, never fancied myself as the kind of guy that could pull off the white jean.
I don't know at what stage in your life you become the person that thinks you can, though.
No.
Seriously, like white jeans.
There was a moment where I thought, I caught myself like looking at them and thinking, you know what these are? And I thought, no. Cancelled that thought out immediately.
You look good in them? I
wouldn't say I look good in them, but I'd say that they fit, and that's a bonus at this stage for me. and that they weren't terrible.
Right.
But then I quickly reminded myself that I had agreed to burn them come Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I haven't walked that back yet.
Okay. I will say the question I always have with white jeans is that we talked about this on a podcast a while back.
Yeah.
Or it might be an Agony Uncles. In our adult lives, I can't remember any point where you've actively shit yourself, right? But
good.
With that in mind, even though I've never had that,
yeah. Well,
white jeans make you. It's always the question of, well, if that was ever going to happen,
it's worse. Yeah.
It's
worst
the worst
case.
Thing to be wearing in that situation.
Worst case, yeah. I mean, the stuff we've bought for our costume,
we've done all right.
We've done not bad. I mean, I was a little bit worried when I saw you hand them to me. Wide, these trousers
are. Wide, aren't they?
Wide.
They're wide.
Like a bit loose around the waist? Or like
as in the thigh.
The whole way down.
The natural thigh of the trouser is about double my width of leg.
Like,
and
what
the
are they cool?
Best
what
thing
are
about
they cool
it that? Is that George is also wearing, George Wright from Football Daily is also wearing.
He's in our trio.
Our faction.
Yeah.
And George is...
Slight.
A slight man.
Yeah,
and he only went one size lower than me and you. So on George, it's going to be like he's wearing a tent.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Sav, your week.
So the myth, the man, the myth, that is the new person who is now involved in the behind the scenes of Balls Up.
Didn't go legend there, man, the myth, the legend. Well, you're waiting for him to earn the
come
status.
Come on, he's got to earn the status. The status of legend doesn't just come. You know what I mean? It's earned.
Got to leave room to grow.
But he's currently in the building and he's helping us out and we've been onboarding him, making sure he knows everything that's going on behind the scenes and how he can help out. And yeah, that's what I've been doing, really, just helping him embed into the scene.
Senior roles from you.
Not even senior, just, you know.
helping out.
You know what I mean?
It's helping out.
That's what happens sometimes.
So, Sav, walk us through what we're talking about this week.
We're talking a little bit about conspiracy theories, all right? We've had a few comments recently of people saying, bring back the conspiracy element of this podcast. But before we get into that, we're going to kick it off with what I'm bringing to the table, which is a lot. I bring a lot to the table, guys.
Zing.
So the Aghori Hindu sect, have you heard of it?
I haven't.
No.
Have you heard of it?
I have not.
All right, so essentially, the what this is going to be is it's going to be me talking a little bit about two groups of people and then asking you if you could go back to one period of time in history, what period it would be and where you would explore and what have you. So the first people is the Aghori Hindu sect, who's like a, it's like a cult, a cannibalistic cult, right? Where, you know what cannibals do, they eat people, but they dig up people's graves, right? And then yeah.
Like eat the I corpse. Said,
essentially, that's their thing. But they believe that it's, I could be wrong with this, but from what I've read anyway, they believe that by eating the corpse, they're absorbing their spirit. And right. It's like their power and stuff gets passed on to them. So anyway, I was watching.
It's got to be an easier way, sure.
So we don't think that about anything we eat.
No.
Oh, get this chicken get spirit inside of me.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching this clip of Reza Aslan, who's like an American-Iranian philosopher, I guess you describe him as, who goes and he spent some time with them. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting around this sort of campfire type thing. They've got like skulls on the floor. They coat themselves in people's ashes. So they're very sort of white looking.
Right.
But anyway, they get him to eat this piece of meat, which he doesn't know what the meat is. You assume it's somebody's something or other.
See, you've shown me. I don't know about the actual thing.
Yeah,
you've
yeah.
shown me this clip, haven't you?
I've shown you the clip. Yeah,
it
yeah.
is. It's crazy.
It's
weird to see.
It's a chieftain essentially giving this guy things. So he gives him this. It's like a headwear, sort of. What would you describe it as? It's like a crown, but it's not like really a crown. It's a
what do they call
headdress.
A headdress. On,
the Native Americans kind
it's
of stuff.
Like not. It's like how Jesus wore like a crown of thorns. What's yeah, that so called? Like a, that like a wreath in a way.
Yeah, essentially. But he sits
accessorizing.
Yeah.
Jesus loved a bit of that.
He loved a bit of accessorizing. Yeah. Shout out Claire's. A
few rings. A few bracelets.
Jesus would love Claire.
So. Essentially, he puts this thing around his head. It's like made up of what appears to be human parts. It's like you can see a jawline in there. There's like stuff anyway. Yeah, it's creepy. Anyway, so he gets him to sort of go through some of their rituals. He asks him for some alcohol. And then there's a bit where he says, I want you to get me the alcohol, bring it back, and I'm going to get you to put this wreath on your head, right? Reza takes off the wreath because it's got bits on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't know what it is. Puts it back down. The guy puts it on. He's not happy, right, this chieftain. You can tell he's not happy.
As if the guy's sort of disrespected.
Like, disrespect. It's a disrespect, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, essentially, this leads to Reza. He begins talking about something. The guy says, "Stop talking, or I'm gonna eat you." Basically,
wow.
Yeah. 0 to 100, real.
Yeah,
quick.
Stop talking. I'm gonna eat you.
And then he goes. Reza sort of says to the soundie, he says, "I think we've made a mistake here. I think we should probably leave."
He
probably
goes leave. To leave, and the guy says to him, "I think you should stay.
Yeah,
where
stay
you
for
are
a bit. Yeah, stay for a little bit." He goes, "Okay, cool." This guy proceeds to start pissing. Right, on the floor.
Goodness gracious.
Just there. Just right there with everyone.
Then he's sort of cupping his hand like this, drinking it. Right, drinking the piss.
For crying out loud.
Drinking the piss like this. It's obviously, by this point, Reza's up. Right?
Yeah.
Right,
he's crying out loud.
Crying out loud.
Reza's
man's
up.
Drinking his own urine.
So Reza's up. And he, the guy, he's going like this, starts throwing the piss at him, doing all bits and bobs. Don't you remember
Isn't
that?
It also...
It's also, I believe, feces as well.
It looks like he also has
when you poo, you piss.
Yeah, yeah, so you assume.
Yeah, I mean, it is It is impossible.
Well, I had a mate that I forgot that one followed the other, and he was going to take a dump off the edge of a bridge, but he only lowered the back half of his trousers and leaned over. And he was halfway through, and he said, "I'm pissing myself."
What a ledge.
You thought he was just laughing at the idea. Yeah. He's actually going.
And he had to walk home with wet trousers.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Thank God they weren't white jeans.
Thank God they... Well, now you're just making me nervous.
But yes, from what we saw, it does look like it might even be that he defecates as well.
Yeah, from what it looks like, anyway. But
I might be wrong, but...
I've just been, like, mad interested in these, like, obscure sort of groups of people that people don't really know much about. And there's another group of people called the Sentinelese people who live off, like... It's like the Sentinel Islands near India.
Kind of untouched, aren't they?
Yeah, it's pretty much untouched. And there was a... I've got to get my phone out because I want to be specific with what it was that...
I've got the notes out.
So essentially, it's under Indian protection, the group of islands, but they've sort of said that they're leaving it alone to do what it's doing.
It governs itself.
Because it's almost like a sovereign state.
Right.
There was an incident about 12 years ago where there were these fishermen who were, they'd fallen asleep in their boat, right? And it had drifted into the shore. They'd got drunk and fallen asleep. It drifted into the shore and they'd, like, the people there had killed the fishermen and then buried them. They didn't even eat them or anything like that. It was just, they don't like visitors.
Right.
It's still a hunter-gatherer type society. And it was just, it got me thinking, like, if I could revisit an era where some stuff like this still happened, or like...
What, so you'd go to somewhere like that?
No, but yeah. I just want to know more about them. They, like, every right. time people have tried to visit there, like, they threw a plane over to observe whether or not they'd survived the tsunami that happened. I can't remember. There was a massive tsunami out there.
Yeah.
And they threw a plane over to see how many people had survived. And it was just chucking spears at them, at the plane. Like, they obviously don't like any human interaction. They just want to stay on their own, which is fair enough. I find stuff like that so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I want to know, I would like to know more about it. But it got me thinking, what other civilizations throughout history would I like to know more about as well?
Yeah.
And I want to ask you lot, if there was a time period or civilization that you could go back and visit and explore, what that civilization would be.
So I'll start this with you though, but I'd say I think there's two different things there, which is a time period, because I think when you say time period, you could be like, you'd love to experience the 60s, 70s, something like that. And then when you say civilizations, obviously you're going way back.
So do
it like on both.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll start with you first.
I'd probably say ancient Egypt.
That'd be a really interesting one.
Just because, number one, I want to see how the pyramids were made. Like, that's...
I was thinking the same, because, you know, we've talked before about there's conspiracy about it's tie-in with alien life and stuff like that. But it's also, you want to go to that time period, but you want to be involved at the top.
Exactly.
You want the answers, It's not like I just want to be there doing a bit of labouring.
The skin in leather and stuff like that. I'm not about that. Like.
They call it labouring back there. Bit of
labour work. Bit of labour work.
Bit of scaffolding.
Yeah. Shout out Luke and Nichols. But yeah, no, so basically, I'd say, yeah, ancient Egypt for sure. And I think, you know, it's not just that. I just find, it was after I played Origins, right? AC Origins.
Yeah.
I was just like, this world looks so cool. Mm-hmm. And I've been to North Africa before, I've been to Morocco, but I never got to see, like, the rural areas. Yeah. I was in, like, Marrakesh, and it's just all built up, and it's not very... There's still a lot of culture, but I want to see what it
Wouldn't
was like.
Wouldn't be the same as being in the thick
exactly,
of it, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So...
A fascinating period. Like, you look at, like, the gods they worship, things like the hieroglyphics, you mentioned the pyramids. Things like how they used to pull out people's brains through their nose with a big...
Yeah, stuff like that.
Crazy.
And is it that where the... I might be wrong. Is it the Egyptians where it was the throwing the people down the stairs? You know the sacrifice thing?
I think that was the Mayan kind of Aztec stuff.
Yeah.
That was like, do you remember the film Apocalypto?
That's what I'm thinking of, but I can't remember where that was. I know that the ends Mayans. Up with
That's
the,
South
the
America.
Spanish Armada appearing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Quality film though.
Yeah, that would be another scary time to go back to.
Yeah, man.
Lots of heart eating and decapitation.
What about yourself, Jeremy?
I don't know if I could go back to any of the two examples you gave earlier.
Why?
Well, partly too savage. Partly out of fear. Yeah, not in the business of having a poo thrown at me. At least not on a regular basis.
No.
And the other part is I'd be slightly worried I'd like it. If they picked the right part of the human and cooked it the right way, the last thing you want to do is be fed human and think, this is all right, don't tell anyone, but this is, we've got to get home and get on this. Like, it's a bit like everyone says, oh, if you go back in time, you'd go back and kill Hitler, wouldn't you? No one really accounts for, what if you go back and you get caught by Hitler's steely gaze and actually you're like, starting to have second thoughts about this. I might just blend in.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is I'm wary when it comes to time travel, Savile.
Yeah. Time travel, Savile. I like the way
What about, so if we're talking time travel, would you go forward to anything?
I think I always, at the moment, barring the end of the Earth, barring the apocalypse, yeah. I'm always in the business of going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because, like, I look at my life now and the things I do.
The children's got the flash on, taking photos of
I thought someone was lighting up and I was like, fair play. I knew we were boring, but. Like, going back, I look at the way I live my life now and the things I interact with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I couldn't even go back to the 50s because I'd wake up in the morning and think, what? I'll fucking. You know the thing where they chase a hoop with a stick? Like, what are they doing? What is that? Oh, I can't figure out this maths equation. I'll move some beads along a pole. No.
Yeah.
So I think...
I don't think they were doing that in the 50s. Still had just the abacus.
Whatever they were doing, it's... You know what? I'm over it. I'm over it.
Yeah, yeah.
80s I'd make an exception for because I like the music and I like the fashion sense. Yeah. I couldn't...
White jeans are coming out in the 80s.
I'd get a perm, I'd do it all.
There's an underlying theme to this episode.
Yeah. But more often than not, I want to go forward. Yeah. Especially because I consume so much in terms of movies and music and video games. And we're getting so good at immortalising that stuff now, for lack of a better way of putting it, that you'd hope that the stuff we're enjoying now will be around forever.
Sure, yeah.
So, like, if I can flash forward to, like, when GTA 8 is out,
but I could also
still very comfortably play 6 and 7.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to love?
That is cool, actually. So that's great, because when you get there, you haven't played the other two.
Right,
so you've just got 3 games worth of quite
art. You'd be that guy who you meet who's like, I'm still on the PS2, got loads of things to play, and you're like, right, enjoy.
I'd like to be you.
Yeah.
That's actually a good shout. In fact, I mean, this is sort of digressing a little bit here, but speaking about going forward in the future, right, we will die one day. Would you rather know how you died or when you're going to die?
Well, I think if someone said you get hit by a car, I'd be like, right, well, that's me not crossing roads anymore. Then.
Call
an end to it.
Can you influence it? Yeah. I guess
I guess you couldn't. It's inevitable. Which, I mean...
Yeah, you never cross... Every time you cross the road, you're like, fuck. Do I really have to...
How or when?
The weirder one would be when. Yeah. If someone said to you...
You know exactly when happens, you're going to die? I don't know if I'm going to know.
Not even date. If someone just said to you, you'll go when you're 77... It's like,
yeah.
It would be cool for some things because you could live your life up to that point, knowing I'm gonna be sweet, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But then that 77 years.
Oh yeah, you're like.
It's like, oi, when is it?
Yeah.
I know I've got max
365 days.
365 left.
Yeah.
But it could be today.
Right. But what if you ask the method and you get a terrible answer? Like, what if you ask the method and you're like, you're gonna die of natural causes, and you're like, well, from 60 onwards, I'm going to wake up and think, well, thank Christ for that. Another day.
Would be like, what if they said to you, oh, you'll be like the victim of torture by some
maniac. That's a madness.
But then again, you're spending every day not looking forward to being tortured. Every time you watch a movie with torturing, you're like, that'd be me one day. Could be 30 years from now.
Constantly thinking of it, but I do, I guess, spend my life walking around thinking, well, try and avoid every maniac I can.
True.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be too different.
But I feel like if someone said to you, okay, you're going to die when you're 74, I'd be like, perfect, I've got 50 years in the books.
I'd be happier with knowing the year rather than knowing the method.
Yeah. I mean,
were you leaning towards
method? Sorry, how did we say he wanted to go and play GTA?
It's for the future. He's talking about the future.
How far in the future?
So that's where we got. As I said, it's a little bit of a digression, or however you say it. So, if it was you had to go back to a civilization, a period of time.
So, civilization first. I think I would like to something that would be cool would be like, say, like the Mayan or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like things like their calendar, like you realize how much these people were doing. Or like I went to Santorini years ago, and there's an ancient village there called Akrotiri, which basically is like it got wiped out because Santorini's basically it's like a semicircle, but it's a rim, so it's an island that goes like this,
right.
And it's because it's actually the rim of a volcano.
Oh right!
And okay, half of wow. it's broken away, and it's sort of gone underwater or whatever.
That's cool.
So I might be slightly wrong on some of the details there, but that's the rough idea.
Yeah.
But this city, which obviously is now in ruin, you go and do a tour around it, and you find all this stuff where you find out that, like, suppose a flood is what basically ruined it and took it away. In terms of how the stories go from years ago, there's if you're a religious believer, we were told at some point, again, it might be a bad source, I don't know, but that when Moses parted the Red Sea elsewhere on the planet, the knock-on effect of that was the flood the that flood. Took us out.
Right, right,
because
right.
if you actually think about that, that's a great story, but
yeah.
the logistics, that what's happening elsewhere when he just decides yeah. to move a big body of water.
I never yeah. thought about the repercussions.
The knock-on effect is obviously going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But so, anyway, there's obviously other reasons to
yeah,
it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But what was interesting is that as you look around this place, you get told and you find out that what you're seeing the ruin of is what they figured out was that this civilization that lived there had, they're Greek as well, but they had like plumbing for hot water.
I remember you saying that, actually.
It's about 100 or so years before plumbing for hot water is then
actually
appears somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they had it made, and then it's obviously flooded and they've lost it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's another thing. There was this like thing of dials all interlocking. And I don't know like the exact thing that it did, but I think it was something to do with it would move and interlock with the stars and whatever so they could work out stuff. But yeah. basically, the guy was saying to us, it's almost like a very rudimentary form of a computer. Like
what?
This
okay,
thing is
wow.
made and it works off its own power to do something.
Right.
But obviously now it's just in ruin. So
yeah, yeah.
it would be amazing to go to somewhere like that and see, okay, so I'd like to go there knowing my knowledge now. That's, I think, the key thing. Because I want to know, it's like, this is what we believe. And from what we believe, it seems like they were crazy intelligent.
Yeah.
So I want to go there now and see, was it actually that advanced at the time?
Yeah.
Because that would be incredible.
Yeah.
In terms of just a time period, less like a civilizational thing, I've always been intrigued that I would love to go and live in like the 60s
right.
with my dad and his mates. Like, because when, like, in the East End of London, because, like, when you hear... growing up, like obviously, you hear stories about obviously all your family and whatever, but you hear stories about my dad and his mates,
yeah.
and you know, you just sort of think you see photos of it as well, and the photos have got that throwback feel.
I showed
that photo of my dad on the card, or that kind of thing, and it
yeah.
looks like classic movie stuff.
Yeah,
do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I always just think, like, I'd just love to have been there for
yeah.
some of these events that get spoke about, some of them that we can't speak about, but also, like,
sure, yeah.
being if I was his age at that time, it'd also mean that I'd see. Like, my granddad, my dad's dad, is a character to levels that I can't probably ever go into on a podcast. But he, obviously, he's passed away now. He passed away when I was, like, I was, I think, about seven. I'm not sure. Seven or eight. But you'd also get to see him in, like, his prime years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so that would be cool. To go back and see all these people that, like, you've heard so much about over the years.
That's a good show,
but to go
like
see
that.
Them living their lives day to day would
I'd
be wicked.
I've never thought about that before.
And, like, my dad working as a... He had paper stalls in
right,
the city
right.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, that kind of era, I think, would be quality. Just, like, watching him proper... Like, I mean, my dad's kind of a wheeler and dealer anyway, but, like, this is the height of his time, do you know what I mean? So that would be wicked, I think.
That'd be a good show. Yeah. I never actually thought about that. And that's something that, now I think about it, would, like, if I could go back and see the journey of, like, my dad's side of my family from Jamaica to the UK and how that happened, like, that would be mad. I can't even imagine what that would be like. That would be emotional.
That's in terms of an emotional thing as well, it goes the other way. Like, my mum's half Scottish, so
yeah,
family's
yeah.
from Glasgow. But... And it's sort of been coming up a minute because, like, a family member's passed away out there recently, so she's been up for funerals and stuff. But my mum's mum and her brothers and sisters, growing up in Glasgow, like, they were homeless, and like the oldest kids had to look after, basically had to look after the whole family, and the family were getting put into foster care, and they had to like almost like break them out and stuff like this over the years. So like in terms of emotional things, if you could go back and just see, not to enjoy it, but just to have a stronger understanding of what happened in the years gone by with your family, would be crazy.
It's almost like, imagine if you could get your favourite director to make a film about one of your parents'
lives.
That is a mad shout.
Yeah.
We actually spoke about this before, but you weren't here for this.
Right.
Everyone's voice is going today.
You weren't here for this. If you were to be played in a movie, right?
Oh, and God.
Who's playing you?
I mean, just there's not many working who fit the profile. Like, by profile, I mean actual, like, the profile.
By profile.
I don't know. Like, because I think of myself... In I think we all, to an extent, think of ourselves in quite idealistic ways.
I came in when we had this conversation with Tom Hardy.
Right.
And I think I left with Jack Black.
So. But see, that you mentioned Jack Black. The first place my head to was like, well, I'm a goofball, so I'd need someone who was funny. Yeah. But then I realised that like 70% of my life is me on my own eating fried chicken in my pants. And like, you wouldn't want Jack Black for that.
It's the dream. That's the dream, bro.
You
dream,
need someone who could do the somber side. So I don't know the answer.
The somber side.
The somber side.
No, fair. It was just a question,
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Who else did we have? But Joe was down as Damian Lewis.
Joe's Damian Lewis.
But it was Damian Lewis.
That's a good look.
But we said...
He's Damian quite serious,
Lewis, Steve-O with, he's, we said Steve-O, a ginger Steve-O would be like...
So Damian Lewis acting it with the personality of Steve... Or I said even the personality of Lee Evans would work for Joe. Just energy.
A lot of energy.
Who did you get?
I believe I left Training Day Denzel.
Okay.
Which I would take every day in the week.
Like the meanest, nastiest Denzel.
It's also like, it's the best thing you can walk out the room with.
Oscar-winning Denzel.
Yeah.
Is there a better person you could have the shout for?
Probably not. Probably not. I think that was who I left with.
Yeah.
And then my mum was Judi Dench.
But your mum's quite tall.
Yeah, I know.
I said Judy Waters for my mum.
Yeah.
God, I couldn't do my mum either. Like,
do you know what's proper? I've just remembered.
Too big a mental block. Just couldn't do it. I'd be like, you know what, mum, I can't go through with this. Finish this up. No, I'm doing
it. Oh. Okay. Do you know what I've just realised? Which gets us nicely off that topic.
Yeah.
Do you know what? So, I forgot to tell you this. You know, we had that conversation.
Yeah.
I went home that night, walked in, and my mum was watching a documentary about the career of Judy Waters.
Oh yeah,
proper weird. Yeah,
man. That is freaky.
Yeah. Anyway, what's our next topic?
We're talking about conspiracies.
We wanted to do conspiracies.
Yeah,
conspiracy, and obviously coming off the back of the pyramids and all that.
So what we've talked about before, we've talked about things like Bermuda Triangle.
Yep.
We've talked about the Malaysian air flight that went missing.
Yeah.
Right.
We've talked a bit about what was the first one we did?
The first ever one.
Yeah, the first. Oh, it was about ancient Egypt and the pyramids.
It was about
and
the pyramids and like ancient civilizations.
I think we briefly touched on funnier ones, but stuff like we talked about
El Dorado,
places that exist. And we briefly touched on Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney,
replaced by a doppelganger.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
We also spoke about beings in the crust of the earth.
Beings.
Oh, in the crust of the earth. He's got this thing about there's other beings on
the crust of the earth.
The weirdest thing about this thing is that so many people have backed him up in the comments and said, "Yeah, I'm with you, Sam."
What, so like, if you go down far enough?
So there's a theory, right? So there's a theory, right, that there's, like, creatures, right, Pacific Rim style, in, like
so
the
kaiju,
crust.
Like Jaegers.
Jaegers are the
monsters.
The Jaegers are the suits.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I don't think as big as that, but like,
they'd have a tough job hiding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
but
like,
it's very cramped.
Yeah, there's a 200-foot-tall monster underneath us. You just can't see it.
It's proper tight down there.
Yeah, but the thing is, there was like I can't remember my other half tells you about this story where it was either Russia or the Ukraine. I can't remember where it was, but they drilled really far down into the center of the earth.
Yeah.
Not the centre, but
I think I know what you're going to say. Basically
what they did was, it was a statewide thing that was loads of people involved, the government knew about it, but they drilled really far down, and one day, like, they pulled the plug the next day. It was in full effect, and the next day they stopped everything, left the hole where it was, and never went back to that site ever again.
Do you think they were like,
do you know what caused them to do that? because I know a similar story of a hole being dug that just went like very, very, very deep.
Yeah, yeah.
And the story that I knew was that they, what the plan was, is they basically lowered on a winch a microphone that would go down just to sort of pick up audio of what's going on, for, so that they could try and map together what was happening.
Right, I think this is a different story.
I reckon, because it ends the same as what yours was, where they just shut it down. But what they heard, because this is the key bit, is when it got right to the bottom, it's apparently, it was just like, it was screams. As if it's...
Oh, God, that's not the word I wanted to hear.
As if it was true, obviously it's just a theory, but if it was true, that it's like they'd gone down to almost the depths of hell, and it was people in there, just in screaming. The core burning, yeah.
Wow.
Because they shut it from that point on. No one ever went back.
That's screams. Imagine that. See, what if it was just like there were like 1,000 diggers, let's say, working on it, and one guy always had to be the guy who was furthest down, and he did that final shovel and like took a peek, and there was just a massive kaiju down there. And he thought, well, we're not going to... The boys aren't going to believe this. So he just goes, we've hit China, lads. Let's wrap up. Pulls on the cord, lets them know.
I'll tell them you weren't here.
We just came out the other side. You wouldn't believe it. Turns out the world's not a sphere. It's more of a disc.
Beijing's lovely this time of year. The lads said to say hello.
Flipping out. But it just makes you think, like, why are they, especially in the one that my girl was talking about, because it's like there was no reason. They didn't give a reason. The government just said nobody come to work the next day. Don't come to work. Locked it all off.
Wouldn't happen here, would it?
No. Matt Hamm would be like, well, let's just... You know. No, but do you know what I mean?
Almost went with the
accent. Keep digging, baby. Yeah.
So,
a kaiju, you're shitting me. Fuck off.
Because they won't understand the reference. Yeah.
And the best thing is he definitely won't watch
it. He definitely won't watch it, yeah. Crazy. But yeah, man, I don't know.
Let's hope.
Yeah. But so other conspiracies, right? We were talking about it briefly in the office before we came down. There's not many that I subscribe to, right? There's not many.
The more we had this conversation, it ended up as three.
Yeah, so maybe there might
be
more. There might be more that I'm open to as well, potentially.
Can I know your three?
Like, so. Obviously, again, just to put this out there, I'm not an expert on any of these. This is gut feeling and what I've seen and read so far.
This is almost just huge amounts, right? That we've been. Drawn in by some very well done.
9/11 was an inside job, I think.
Right.
Even if it wasn't an inside job.
Instead of saying just 9/11 is one of the ones I believe there's a two, it was an inside job.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in that deep. Clear the waters.
It's an inside job.
9/11, I don't see how those buildings collapsing look so much like a controlled demolition that it's uncanny. Right?
Right.
So for me, that one's one of them.
Explosions further floors down.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing didn't really make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Then the moon landings, I'm 50-50 on. Right?
You was against it, and then we started talking about it.
No, I wasn't against it.
Oh, was you? What was the one you were...
No, I was saying...
No.
I said
I didn't know, and then Dorman told me about how they would be able to take off.
Yeah, no, so the moon landings for me, it's difficult because I've listened to people talk about it, and people who, like, I value their opinion, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson has talked on it like extensively, and he's obviously somebody that I look at as being like, he knows what he's talking about. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson, do you know what I mean? And he says that it would be impossible to fake it to the extent that they managed to look at. If they managed to fake it, and they did that in the 60s, you would struggle, like really, really struggle to replicate the atmosphere of on the moon. Right. In a studio today, in this day and age. So what makes you think they'll be able to do it in the 60s, where they'd have particles of dust?
Stanley Kubrick was a stickler for details.
He was a stickler for detail, I guess.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
The theory there being Stanley Kubrick was involved in the...
In shooting the moon landing.
Yeah. And supposedly, if you watch The Shining, which he directed, there's many a hint.
Hints,
little Easter eggs, as it were.
Yeah.
But that was one. And then the third one was the JFK assassination.
Right.
Those are the three where I sort of like...
So that was an inside job. That was the
So that was more American government. We were talking about it. And I said to the boys that the reason I'm sort of... not, I don't know the answer, but I'm sort of what we're told is not the case with the JFK one, is that I went to... When I was in America, I went to Dallas where it happened. What's really weird as well is there's the road where it happened.
Yeah.
Just has a painted white X in the middle of it. That's the exact point the bullet hit him. Yeah. But so tourists,
have you watched it?
Me included, yeah.
You seen it? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
The tourists, me included,
it's crazy.
Wait till a red light and everyone just runs into the road and just stands on this thing and takes photos of themselves standing on the spot. I've done it, because why not? You're there. Yeah, but it's just weird that it's what you're actually taking a photo of.
Yeah.
But so where it is, behind it is the JFK Museum, which is in the building that the guy shot from, on the floor the guy shot from. And where he shot from is in a corner of the room, which is left exactly as it was.
Can you walk up to it?
Yeah, yeah, you're like walking around it. It's cornered off. They've glassed around it now, so that section is left as it was. Even the window is still slightly ajar, like from where his gun was.
Whoa.
But that's been left exactly as it is. But the reason I said that I believe something isn't right with that one is because that's an official museum of the event.
Mm-hmm.
And it openly sort of talks you through how there's lots of sort of inconsistencies in the story that's told. Like, they show you photos of Lee Harvey Oswald, who supposedly took the shot, standing, this famous photo that they put out in the press of him standing with a rifle in his garden.
Yeah.
And then they show you the actual photo, and he's just standing in his garden. There's no gun. So it was doctored afterwards to put, like, a weapon and things like this. So there's all these different things where it's like that. The reason that I said I don't believe in that one is because when you go to the official thing that's obviously run by the local government in that area...
Yeah.
The kind of job of that museum is to say to you, we're not saying what happened, but what we're saying is the official line is probably not the case. So that one, I was like, okay, cool. Whereas like you walk around the 9/11 museum in America, in New York, and they're not going, loads of hints to an inside job here. Like, they don't mention it at all. They just tell you the story as we're told to believe it.
Yeah.
Also, if you're ever in New York, one of the coolest things to go see, and that's a weird way to explain it, because it's very sad and it's very... somber and everything when you go around. It's really touching. Like, if you're... I'm not even someone who does tear up easily.
Yeah,
but it puts you right on the edge of, like... The 9/11 Museum in New York at Ground Zero is, like, a hell of an experience to go see.
Yeah.
Especially for... It's the first museum of those kind of things where it's from our lifetime.
So you
remember it.
Yeah.
So, which is different. I don't really invest in museums. But when you're walking around the 9/11 one... You're seeing TV footage from... They've got every news channel that was reporting it on a loop, live coverage of what it was like. And you're looking at, like, BBC, knowing, I was watching that. I remember watching it.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That is crazy. The 9/11 one, I was on YouTube a few weeks ago. And, you know, you go into the rabbit hole with things and you just sort of like, you just click next video, next video.
Yeah.
You're just there.
Head of a thumbnail.
You're in there, you're just there. It's like literally stuff like we make.
Yeah.
Or better.
Nah.
But anyway, but anyway, there was this one, it was 10 creepiest phone calls you ever hear. And it was
so rabbit hole, that is.
Oh, yikes.
I was deep in that thing. You get me? I didn't say it got nothing.
And like, you're almost actively disliking the video while you're watching it, but you need to know what the next one is.
You have to know what it is.
It's already on double speed. It can't go faster.
You're in a darkened room as well.
Oh, bro, it was mad. Yeah,
probably should have gone to bed half an hour ago.
100%. But I want to know what sharks there are. Like, and stuff
exactly.
Like. Anyway, so the flipping phone calls are coming up, and the most creepy one, so number one, was a guy calling from inside the Trade Tower building, where he's saying, I can see it, it's coming, and it's like, when you're listening to it, and you're like,
what would you do in that situation?
What would you do, and what's going through your head? Mm. Who are you thinking to call? Like, I can't even imagine, that must have been, a nightmare. You live in a nightmare.
There's rooms in the museum where you walk into them,
and
they're just playing audio of those things.
You're
listening to it. There's one of the flight where the passengers managed to take over, but the terrorist actually crashed it. The one that was supposedly it was supposed to aim for the White House.
It landed in a field.
In Pennsylvania somewhere. But that flight, there's audio recordings of a guy on the phone to his wife, who was just a passenger.
Yeah.
And he's with the crew that are on the flight. And the only thing they've got that they can use as any kind of weapon to get through is they can boil water in the back. So they're boiling water to try and attack them. And he's a passenger, but he's kind of corralling them into figuring out what they're doing. He's on the phone. And it's the fact that the last thing you hear him say to his wife on the phone is he says to the people around him, he goes, okay, let's go. And then puts the phone down. And you know that he's saying, let's go, puts the phone down, and then pretty much goes to his death, because he then charge the what do you call it, the cockpit,
the cockpit,
to try and it's things like that where you're like, you can think you've got balls, and then there's another level,
there's a different level,
and it's almost like there's a Channel 4 had a documentary called The Falling Man, which is about trying to, there was a famous photo of a guy falling from the tower, and they tried to identify who he was, and there was loads of weird conflicting things where people claimed it was their family member but people thought they were just making it up,
right?
But what the biggest thing that came out of the documentary was that people who jumped,
right,
like when it first comes in you go, oh, people just jumped out of the tower, and it's like, sounds like, God, why would you do that? And then the more you read about these people, you realise that it's almost, it's the last shred of dignity that they had.
They were in control.
Was that they could control what they did there. And it's like, imagine getting to that position where you think, I'm just going to do it. Because then I've made the call rather than...
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, we were talking about before, probably the biggest event that's ever happened in our lifetime, isn't
it? Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Going on the jumping thing, have you ever got to like an edge of a something and been like,
there's that thing in your head where you go, yeah, I could jump, you know?
Like, what would happen if I'm... Yeah. What? Because there's this film I watched called Dredd, right? It was about Judge Dredd. It's not a great film, but there's this thing they have where they give this the drug to people.
The slow
motion. Yeah, it slows time down to like, it's like a hundredth of a second or something like that. So they inject you with it and then they throw you off the edge of the building. So you're falling, knowing you're going to die. Your mind is still working in real time, but you're experiencing everything. It's slow. So you're thinking about how you're going to hit the floor, and that's their version of like, torturing somebody, because you've thrown off, they're being tortured for ages, but it's instant for us. But it's like, what would be going through your head? Do you know what I'm saying? You're on the way down, and it's like
the closest thing I've ever had to that was the Grand Canyon, in America, where we did a day where you drive around it. It's like it takes a long time to drive around just the whole thing.
Yeah,
but you drive and you stop and look at different points.
Yeah,
and I was with an ex when I did it.
Yeah,
and pulled up. Got out and we're just looking. There's a point where we're at where there's no railings. It's just the thing.
There, yeah.
And she, like, bigger balls than I would ever have, just goes, "I get a photo of me sitting on the edge." And I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, that's mental. She was like, "No, get a photo of me the edge." So she just walks up and she walks to the edge and then sits down. Like, that's the bit where I'm doing all the movement I'm doing back here, and then So she does it. And I take a throw with her, and I'm like, I'm sweating because she's there. I'm come back now. She goes, "What, you're not going to come and do it?" And I was like, "No, you're sitting on the edge of a thing."
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where she turns to me, she was like, "You're going to come all this way to here and not..." Uh-huh. And it hit me in my head, and I was like, oh, she's right, you know. Like, what am I going to do? Like, imagine looking back on it and I didn't go sit on the edge. So I, like, I'm well in ground, right, and I sit down.
And you start,
and then I edged my way, and I literally got to the point where my legs were just hanging enough that they were dangling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
"Yeah, I'm good.
Take a fucking photo now, so that I can get up." So then she did it, and then, but like that moment is that thing where you ever had that thing where you're like, you're walking across a bridge, and like you say, you're choosing music on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a voice in your head going, "I could just throw this."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're almost there doing it. Yeah, yeah. Almost happening.
It's so weird. What is that?
I have a weird one of those from a long time ago that I can't get out of my mind for some reason. Well, I got Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter for Xbox 360, and on the journey home, the window was open a little bit. I was like, I could throw this out.
Yeah.
I could just slip in and just let go.
All these things where it's like, I could do
what
it.
Is that
it's
feeling?
Like the fucked up part of your head that's tempting fate.
I always think afterwards, like, the worrying thing is, there's a bit of my head that wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Just to have messed something up that day.
And you know how I've realised, right, Joe doesn't say no. He just lives by that.
He doesn't have the voice
that says, nah, she probably should do that. Yeah. Like, he just does whatever it is that he thinks he should do.
But it's also, Joe will do it. If you were on that train and he had the game and you went, and it was you thrown out of the window, Joe would go, ah, you do, yeah. Just have to do it. Because then it's, what a story.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
that's,
word.
That's had me, like, sweating at points. Like, that when I was at the Grand Canyon, it was that thing in my head, like, I could just do it. I could just move myself forward here.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Yeah. That's that done.
Do you also ever have this thing where you're on an escalator and there's like a guy standing in front of you? You're like, I could kick him down the escalator right now.
Yes.
And like, that would probably be a murder case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just boom. Yeah. Like, you could just do it.
Yeah.
Like, I always get it's weird things like that, man. I wonder what that is about humans.
You ever seen the footage of people? Like, there's been a couple of occasions over the last couple of years where this is talking about conspiracy theories.
No, no, it's not. But, you know.
But on like the London Underground, where people have been like
pushed
someone
in
crazy has been pushing people in front of the train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that now gets to the point where like any time I'm there,
yeah,
I'm thinking someone could just appear behind me. I'm thinking. I could just put someone in front of a train. Like, it's just, there's a voice in your head doing it.
I was talking to Mills about this.
Not that we ever would.
No, of course. I'm never going to kick a fella down the escalator. You know what I mean? But I was talking to Mills, right? And we was both saying that I didn't realise this. That I thought I was the only person that did this. But I face the other way. So when I'm on the platform, I'm facing the crowd. I'm not facing the train.
Really?
Yeah, because I'll get this feeling that someone's going to push me. So I'm on the yellow line.
In case someone
does. I'm on the yellow line, I'm usually either side on, or facing the other way.
Right, Mills is the same.
Same thing. And I said, "You do that as well." He was like, "Yeah, I didn't know anyone else did that."
But Millard also. Millard has such a fear of heights.
He's got crazy fear of heights.
And part of it being his size, but Millard won't walk past the London Eye.
What?
Because it's too tall. It's not. His fear doesn't go to when we went South Bank to the Namco. The arcade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We went there ages ago. Loads of us went down. And was you there for that?
No. He's a funny cat. I love it. No, I wasn't there for that.
And he got a cab there. The reason he got a cab was because our walk from Waterloo round to the thing
would have taken would have walked.
And he said apparently looking at it gets him worked up because it's so high.
Serious?
Yeah. And I was like, what is it? Is it the fact that it could fall? And he was like, I just don't like that it's there. Okay, cool.
I'll be honest, I don't understand that one. Yeah, that's the heights in general. Have you ever had, going back to the kicking people thing, have it where you apply it to someone that you know really well, even if it's completely irrational? Because I had a thing, it didn't go down particularly well, but I had a horrible moment once a couple of years back where in the middle of the night I became really reluctant to go to sleep because it was my ex at the time. I was like, she could just grab a knife from the kitchen and slit my throat. She's asleep right now, but if I go to sleep, she could just kill me. Yeah. And I get the same thing with dogs. Like, especially with dogs, you can't reason with a dog. It doesn't speak English.
No, they're all German.
Exactly. It break down in communication, lost in translation. It wouldn't. How could you stop a dog
from just
ripping your throat out
if you're
asleep?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
The old lady fell down the stairs and the dog ate her face.
Oh my God! You know what?
Dog training 101.
I want to know when that becomes the answer for the dog.
You know, speaking about faces and ripping things. So basically,
yes, no tangent. Yeah.
So basically, again, segue. 10 creepiest phone calls. Right.
We'll put a link to this video in the description.
one of the phone calls was this woman on the phone to the police, right, saying, she sounded kind of worked up, agitated. So she goes, it's ripped her face completely off. The officer's saying, what are we talking about? No, it's completely torn her face off. He's saying, what has? Oh, my pet chimp. She's got a pet chimp in the house, right? They're having a dinner party, and this chimp has torn this woman's face, completely apart.
Is she as calm as you were saying it then?
Pretty much.
That's weird.
But she's like...
And people say that they're smart and that they're the nearest thing.
I don't know what this woman was saying.
Actually, yeah. She might have bad mouth. What a dumb-looking chimp you've got.
Yeah.
Rip.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just... Well, number one, why have you got a chimp at a dinner party anyway? You probably shouldn't have done that.
At a dinner party. Do you know what I mean? Why have you got a chimp and then why are you bringing it to a dinner party?
It's a madness. What are you not saying about Harambe? just throwing
Sorry,
it out there.
We're supposed to be doing conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I know, it's a conspiracy, isn't it?
A tragic loss.
You will, one day, you will get a full conspiracy theory podcast. But tangents is the way we're going today.
No, forget Harambe. What was I...
What did you want to know about the Harambe thing? Should they have done it? I think, no.
You don't think they should have done it?
You let Harambe kill the kid.
Sorry, it's an
Playing
animal.
Playing devil's advocate.
It's an animal.
And a human.
No, I'm not saying... No. The mistake made is letting your kid in with the animal.
100%.
So you shoot the parents.
No, 100% that child should
never... Do you know what this actually comes back to? Because it's not a case of, no, you should just let the animal do what it wants. It comes back to, it shouldn't be in captivity.
Yeah, I don't get... I always ask this, and I don't know whether I'm asking a stupid question here, but Couldn't they have tranquilised it instead? Or would it take too long for the tranquilisers to kick in?
I don't know. But my question is just quite simply, is like if it's an animal that has the potential, if it's like, if you're dealing with an animal that you can never be sure enough to a point where you're beyond a certain amount of doubt that it could ever do something like that, then I think the answer is that we shouldn't really be able to see it up close.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the answer, isn't it? If you wanted to go see it, it's out there in the world, and you're in its world if you go there.
Yeah.
And it's not answerable to anyone what it does. To take, it's like, it's almost the same, it's almost the same as like giving a kid a loaded gun and putting in a room and going, oh, let's all look at him there with it. And then someone gets in and he shoots him. It's like, yeah, but...
What are you doing? You
put this situation there to happen.
Yeah.
You've put not high enough barriers to stop the kid being able to fall into it. Like, there's things like that that's just like...
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's no... After the fact, there's no right answers to like, how they shouldn't have done it or whatever. But the fact of the matter is like, in terms of animal captivity and zoos and whatever, there's a certain question has to be asked at some point of like, should you ever be doing this? Like, it's against their will. And then some people say, they haven't got a will like us. It's like, yeah, but we ain't gods. We're not supposed to be just choosing that.
Yeah, I think that...
And what's the point of a zoo? So that we can look at an animal?
Yeah, really.
It don't matter, like, does it? Do you know what I mean?
Like, if anything, we should be taking notes from the lady without a face. Harambe should have been at a dinner party, not in a zoo.
That's maybe what it was. He didn't get the invite. So he's livid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even... That's the worst thing about it. When you actually watch the footage back, and I'm sure most of you have, like... He picks the kid up, he's fixing him up, right? He stands him up.
Brushing him
and
off.
Then he drags him, right? And at that point, if I was the parent, I would be like, yeah, kill it now.
Of course. So like, if you're the parent of the kid.
Yeah, you're saying, like, kill it. Just, but then at the same time, it's like, you're an idiot for even allowing your kid to be in that situation.
Mm. And it's also, correct me if I'm wrong, because I might have something wrong here, but obviously it's a kid, so a kid shouldn't be in that position.
Yeah.
But... am I right in saying...
So the kid was six. When you were six, would you have jumped into a gorilla pen?
Yeah, I know. But the other thing is... Harambe in that situation, he believes it's like a
youth.
A youth of whatever...
He can see it's young, whether it's him or not.
So the way he's treating it is just how he would treat a cub of... I don't know what you call him. What do you call him?
A baby gorilla, isn't it?
A baby gorilla.
Yeah.
He's treating it like he would treat that.
Yeah.
So, am I right in saying that, and I might be wrong, I don't know, I'm just asking, but he's not acting aggressively with it. He's doing what he believes to be right in this situation.
He's being normal, but then him being normal...
It's not. I know it's not normal to us, but it's like...
It's not even that it's not normal to us, it's like... you could have thrown in Eddie Hall in there. He's got no chance.
No, yeah, right? Exactly.
So it's if you like with a kid, it's like within another few minutes, if he's dragging that kid about and he manages maybe hits the kid's head on the wall or something, like the kid could have died. 100% the kid could have died. I'm not saying they should have shot the gorilla. I always wondered why they didn't tranquilize it. That was always my thing. Like maybe the tranquilizers wouldn't have worked in time. Or I don't know.
There's always the thing that always comes back to me when it comes to. Like the mental state of an animal that's in captivity, is that put yourself in the position the other way around, right? And even though we have more conscious thought or whatever, any animal in the world, right? If you woke up to find 100 of them staring directly at you, if it's cats or gorillas, so if there's a bunch of them staring directly at you, you're going to be on edge. Yeah. Even if you woke up to walk out your house and there's what's a nice animal that's just like, there's 20 hedgehogs just in front of you, all looking at you.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, you'd be on edge. So imagine being an animal that wakes up just to find a consistent bunch of another species just eyeballing you the whole time.
Then if one of those hedgehogs was pointing a gun at you, then even more so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least they're tranquilised.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially, I think, if they say they are as intelligent as they say they are, the primates, then it's not as if that's not going to affect them.
No, it'd be absolutely.
But it's a different sort of level. It's a different type of intelligence, though, isn't it?
It is a different type of intelligence.
It's like it's not. It's not. Yeah. But anyway, there's. Don't say we're not topical. There's our thoughts on Harambe.
Yeah, there's our thoughts on Harambe. I don't know why that even came. Why did that even come up?
I don't know how you got there.
We almost went back to conspiracies.
You literally said, "What's your thoughts on Harambe?"
Yeah, I just said we said about Harambe. Yeah, I don't know why I said that.
Seeing as we touched on it a bit earlier. Yeah. But thoughts overall on. What we know of 9/11. That's the big one.
Our thoughts on it.
Like, I know you said obviously the control explosion, but like, go further into it. What's the, what are the things that make you question it? If
I feel like, I know this sounds, this might sound ignorant. I haven't done, like I said before, I haven't done a whole bunch of research on this or anything like that, but it felt a little bit like they'd create an excuse now to go and do what they needed to do in the Middle East. That was my feeling about it. but then again, I don't know enough about it to say for sure, but that was my gut feeling. I felt like, okay, now I can go and do what I want to do in Iraq, in Afghanistan, wherever it was that they... It gave them free reign, as it were. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was this whole Bush thing of fight terror
with
terror.
Gave the backing of the people.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that would be, in my head, the logical reason for them doing it. Maybe there was other things that with more research, I'm sure would come out, but I don't know, man. It just didn't feel natural. It didn't feel, obviously it wasn't natural, but I'm saying it didn't feel like it was a terrorist job. Yeah. It felt like they'd done it.
Yeah,
if that's what it felt like. But there you go. What are you saying about it? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's really tough to talk about.
It's really difficult to talk about when you're on camera and you think, yeah, I don't know where this is going to end.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
It's going to be on the internet forever.
I don't want to stress this hard enough. I don't know much about
everything we talk about, we do not know anything about. That's the whole point of this. We're just...
mates chatting.
Bunch of people in a room talking about stuff that seems interesting
beyond
to
their
our
pay grade.
Uneducated minds.
Yeah,
yeah. I think with a lot of that stuff, both with 9/11 and a lot of the other conspiracy theories you talked about, to a certain extent, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of healthy skepticism,
yeah,
and acknowledging that you either don't know the whole truth or that some of the things you've been told are truths are actually a big piece of misinformation. Though I think the reason I'm kind of cautious to talk about stuff like that is because I know deep down that I'm kind of malleable when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I sat there when I was like 12 and I watched Loose Change on YouTube and I was like, it's an inside job. Bush did it. And then...
Fahrenheit 9/11.
Exactly. But I can just as easily see have the other side present their facts first and I'd be like, well, they're right.
And the
amount of times one, like, very heavily weighted but well-reasoned argument has completely convinced me of something... makes me scared to pick a side.
It's almost there's a weird way to word it, but it's almost the, I guess you call it, the fantasist in all of us.
Yeah, right.
Always wants the inside job is more appealing to your head. Now, obviously, it's a horrible situation because a lot of people obviously lost their lives there, but when you're talking about it afterwards and, you know, what was the deal with it, it does always come down to like, oh, but if it was an inside job, whatever, then it means that shady goings-on are happening, which makes it more interesting.
And 9/11's a tough one to talk about because I think the two sides of that coin, in terms of what people think happened or didn't happen, there are fairly serious consequences. Like, if you are convinced 9/11 was an inside job committed by the US government to advance their various...
Serious,
you know,
accusations.
Exactly. There's something about, like, going back to the moon landing.
Yeah.
If they'd faked the moon landing, I'd be like... So,
cool. Yeah.
Like,
we
whether or not they faked it back then, we are in space now. Yeah. We're all kind of working together to a certain extent to further that stuff. Like, in our lifetime, people will probably be going to space for fun.
Yeah,
not necessarily landing on the moon and having a kickabout, but going to space.
Yeah.
And I get that was a point where, again, it was furthering an agenda that had an influence and affected things at the time in the political climate.
Space war, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but I feel far enough removed from that, you know, like 50 plus years, that I can be like, even if it was like,
space,
it's just a funny story.
Not, I mean, space war. That's
yeah, exactly.
Sounds like,
if they killed thousands of people in some part of the process of going to space and landing on the moon, then
it's a way bigger deal. Yeah, I think the there was the theory I heard about it, which was that apparently they'd filmed...
Means it can't get sued.
They'd filmed the moon landing, right? Mm. Before it happened,
in case it didn't work.
But it worked, and then the stuff came out about them filming it.
No, I heard that they filmed it in case... what I heard was they had something set up ready to film in case news came in that Russia were about to do it.
Oh, right now. So
the Soviet Union, sorry, was about to do it.
Right.
And so then something came in, and the snap reaction was, well, we better say that we've done it then.
Yeah.
And
but
then
that's another side.
How awkward would it have been if they'd accidentally done it at the same time? Yeah, and like Lance Armstrong and like Buzz Aldrin like got out the thing and were like, hang on, what are you doing here? Yeah. Like, we got here 10 minutes ago. Like, have you put your flag down now?
Yuri Gagarin. Although, here's a weird one.
Don't let them get in the shot, just film us.
when you think about what that is for the people who ran at the time it happened, right?
Yeah.
There's this all this talk going on at the moment with like SpaceX, with Elon Musk, and his aim is to try and get us to Mars.
Yeah. Right.
Could you imagine, like, in our lifetime, think about this as a concept, that SpaceX gets to the point where they launch a mission to send people to Mars to inhabit it.
Right.
And we watch it go off, we watch it do whatever.
Yeah.
And then it goes there, and then, like, whatever it is, 6 months down the line, we get the news in and the footage that they've landed on Mars, and here's the stuff we're seeing.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that then someone will just go, it's all been faked, and everything we've just seen is in a studio? Like, I always think, for people that lived through the moon landing as it happened, must think, I watched it. I was there watching it happen. It was this huge event, and everyone's going, no, that was done in the studio.
It's not real.
Like, I think we'd only experience that if it happened with the Mars thing, but it'd be proper odd.
It would be.
The other thing is with the moon one, I know it's the question everyone always says, why haven't we gone back?
Yeah, I think, well, from what they say there's a need to now, because, you know, it's happened, and why would we go back?
But surely there's more to it.
But then, I don't know, I feel like we can. If it's happened before, let's say it has happened, right, theoretically speaking, we did go, right, what would be our need to go back?
To explore it more.
Yeah, but for what?
Find out if it's actually made of cheese.
I kept thinking about the Wallace and Gromit episode.
Oh, what a banging.
As far as I'm concerned, it's still an unanswered question. I always think it only cuts like the cone.
Yeah, and then he spreads cheese. Listen, that was wavy.
I'm not even a fan of cheese, but that made me want cheese. but I know what you mean. Is it worth going back? I just think, like, I'm not saying this is my opinion, but there's a general opinion of a lot of people that our job as mankind is to just keep exploring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pushing the boundaries and see what
else is. This is another theory, right? I love a theory. That we are currently on the moon, and we have bases there already, but
I thought you meant us. This ain't Earth.
Balls up HQ.
Is on the moon, yeah, no.
That makes a bit more sense, but it's space-like.
So what people reckon is that when we went there, we set up bases there, and we obviously the more people know about it, the worse it is for them. So they've made it so that nobody knows that they've created the conspiracy that the moon landings didn't happen and that we've never been there, in order to hide the fact that we're still there and we've always been there and we have bases there and stuff like that. That's another conspiracy.
Bases and stuff like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll go on to this as a quick one, because we were talking about this upstairs, but the conspiracy surrounding certain celebrity deaths.
Right.
Any of them hold any weight with you?
Not at all.
No, not really. What are we talking with? Paul McCartney, so you talked about.
Oh, no, I don't mean them. No, I don't mean the ones who are supposedly replaced by someone. I mean the ones that faked deaths. So
Elvis,
like,
Presley.
Elvis or Tupac or Michael Jackson is even thought of.
Avril Lavigne got replaced, didn't she?
No, not replaced. Someone replaced.
I know, but I wanted to bring...
You're loving the replace.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Avril Lavigne.
Apparently, there's another one, that Taylor Swift is like a vampire or something, and has lived for hundreds of years. Same with Keanu Reeves.
Well, Alex Jones, not the one from All Time Gaming, the conspiracy guy, reckons that Hillary Clinton is a psychic vampire. So there you go.
She got two powers.
Yeah, I like that. A psychic vampire. But when you say a psychic vampire, I just imagine, you know, a psychic in our day-to-day lives, who's just someone who, like, does the palm readings.
Yeah.
I imagine just in a community of vampires that she's just got that job. They're just coming into her little room with curtains. Like,
vampire society, and she's in a little tent with a crystal ball.
I see a huge pitchfork in your future.
You're never going to die.
Do you know about the Bilderberg?
I can't really see anything. Let's get some light in here.
Good one.
Good one.
The garlic.
The Bilderberg thing. I don't. This is something that I wish.
The Bilderberg group thing.
But what was that? Where it's like, They have meetings, and it's like all of the most powerful people from every sector. And
yeah, that's kind of goes into like the Illuminati stuff a bit, doesn't it?
Okay, Illuminati, do you reckon it's real?
I reckon there are... When people say stuff like, oh, the President of the United States is the supposedly most powerful man in the free world, as they call it, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case.
I think there's people that don't necessarily hold as public a high position,
uh-huh,
who have a lot more... influence in and sway in the way things go.
Behind the scenes.
Illuminati is another one similar to 9/11, where there's such, sometimes you can hear such a well-positioned, reasoned argument.
That
it does make you think, a lot of things do seem to make sense.
Right.
And the thing is, the one thing I do know for a fact is that, my opinion, is that the world is run at the top by an excessive need for power by people.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I've always thought is that other things that divide us, whether it be cultural divides, racial divides, sexual orientation divides, all these things.
Yeah.
I've always thought that really there seems to be one real one that applies, and it's a class divide, and it's done. It's basically the power at the top and the rest of us. And the other ones, the other divides, are things that obviously history has led to a lot of these things being the case, but a lot of these things are positioned in the media to be the forefront of our thinking, such as racism, whatever, so to basically make people fight amongst themselves.
Yeah.
So that people don't actually stop to think about the real divide.
Well, divide and conquer, didn't it?
Everyone at the top is staying there, the
1%. Yeah.
And then the 99% are all here, and they will fight amongst themselves because of different problems. That's not me saying, obviously, this is a general view over everything else. Racism, homophobia, all those things are huge in the world and should not, they affect huge amounts of everything. But I think there are aspects, there are times when the media uses them to divert attention away from real issues and focus the attention on another battle that's going on.
Yeah.
Dude, that's how time up.
Just getting messages.
Just getting messages,
Mr. Popular.
Shout out the boy. But yeah. Yeah. So, I mean...
Thoughts on the top level?
Well, yeah, I mean...
I think, yeah, kind of like with the Illuminati, whatever form you think a lot of this stuff takes, I think it's not that unheard of to believe that some kind of structure like that exists and how it's enforced and who is enforcing it, and whether or not they all have weird secret meetings and try and put triangles out everywhere.
That's
up for debate.
That's the bit where I think it's not so much the
but
case.
But that kind ritual, of a concept.
The ritual aspect of these things and the cult-like things of it don't seem to, blood ceremonies and things like that all seem a little bit too far-fetched to me. But I do think that there is a use of things like the media and things like that to make the general population almost fight amongst ourselves more than they would do naturally to almost keep the equilibrium of power.
Yeah. I mean, when everybody's on the same page, you get revolutions, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. So I think, I would agree to an extent. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Should we wrap this up, then?
Yeah. Rounded it off nicely.
Yeah.
Managed to cover actually three...
Some
Illuminati somewhere. Famous people in 9/11 in the space of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Throwing Harambe in there is a little bonus.
Oh, was there? Yeah. What a bonus that was for all of you.
Yeah.
But there we have
never
it.
Too late, that's what they say about Harambe. Never too late.
Never too much, sorry.
He was a gorilla, wasn't he? Big loofah right now. Blue gorilla.
I've got that in my head now. You've said never too late, and now I've just got never too much stuck in my
late,
head.
Never too late.
Right, there we go. Yeah, that was your NSFW podcast for this week. Make sure you give us 5-star ratings on, we should have said that at the start, iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff.
Yeah, man.
What else? They should go check out the quiz. These two going up against each other.
Yeah, it was a good one.
In a battle of wits. And if you hadn't seen it already, Sav gave you a spoiler at the start, so apologies for that.
Oh,
yeah. And then what else have we got coming out? Bloom, appearing on Balls Up again. The girls are coming over.
Yes, they are, indeed.
For Agony Uncles, which was decent. Really good stuff. And...
That's it, really?
Have we got anything else coming out?
Nah.
Joe will be back next week, won't he?
Joe will be back next week, and we'll be... hopefully, out on the street, doing bits and bobs, picking up vox pops and that sort of thing.
Hopefully.
Something new? Something new, is that?
Yeah, testing out something new.
Mm.
We need a series title for it, though. We don't know what it's going to be called yet. Basically, us on the street.
The gobble.